the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Bells tolled at the Vatican as Pope Francis' casket was transferred from his residence to St. Peter's Basilica for 3 days of public viewing. Rachel McKay made her way from England to pay respects.
He's like a member of the family, isn't he? Somebody very close to our hearts, somebody who made the church very accessible to everybody.
A funeral will be held at the Basilica Saturday. CBS's Tina Kraus is in Rome.
As the world prepares to bid farewell to a leader many have described as transformational, cardinals get ready to choose a new head of the Catholic Church. Already, several possible contenders have come to light.
The conclave to choose the next pope is expected to begin sometime next month. President Trump's adopting a softer stance on tariffs, especially his 145% levies on Chinese products, after the International Monetary Fund's prediction of a slowdown in the global economy.
We're going to be very good to China, have a great relationship with President Xi.
CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
I think that the sentiment that they're trying to convey is that deals are coming. And, of course, we saw the markets react very positively.
U.S. futures up about 2%. Extremely dry air and high wind gusts are fueling a raging wildfire near the Jersey Shore. Thousands of people were forced from their homes, including Andrew Fellen.
It's scary. You know, it's not something you see every day, especially around here. I mean, you know, you read about it like what happened in, you know, California with all their wildfires and things like that.
The Ocean County Sheriff's Office says several buildings have been damaged and a busy section of the Garden State Parkway's been closed both ways. No injuries reported. There are still not as many women having babies in the U.S.
The CDC says births increased by just 1% last year from 2023's record low. The fertility rate is at 1.6 births per woman, well below the 2.1 needed to keep the nation's population steady. The low birth rates could impact the economy, with fewer younger workers around to support the growing senior population. At the March for Life rally earlier this year, Vice President J.D. Vance declared,
"I want more babies in the United States of America."
President Trump has also called for a baby boom. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Health Secretary Kennedy's called on food companies to ban dyes that make candy and cereal bright and colorful. FDA Commissioner Dr. Marty McCarry.
These steps that we are taking means that the FDA is effectively removing all petroleum-based food dyes from the U.S. food supply.
Some studies have linked those dyes to behavioral and cognitive problems in kids. Dow futures are up 729. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local news on WRJN is brought to you hourly by Conventional Concrete Systems. Top-notch work with a beautiful finish. 262-206-3168.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Kenosha police are investigating a Racine police shooting. At around 6 last night, Racine police were called to a home invasion in progress near Marquette and Hamilton. When officers got there, they heard gunshots inside. They went in and engaged with the suspect, with him being shot and suffering minor injuries. A statement says several children and adults were in the home at the time. Again, Kenosha police are investigating a Racine police shooting last night. The crash at the end of a police chase Saturday in Racine has turned fatal. 72-year-old Daniel Brown of Racine has succumbed to injuries sustained when a suspect fleeing police collided with his vehicle at Victory and Lathrop. The Racine County Sheriff's Office says 36-year-old Adonis Martin ignored a stop sign, causing the fatal crash. Martin was wanted for violating parole and has a lengthy criminal history. Charges will likely be amended with Martin in custody. The Racine Town Hall featuring a former federal official starts at 6 tomorrow. Former Social Security Commissioner Martin O'Malley will discuss what he says are proposed GOP cuts to Medicaid and SNAP, with a statement saying he'll also address impacts to Social Security services. The event is being held at the Bryant Community Center and will also feature remarks from Racine Representative and Assembly Democratic Leader Greta Neubauer. And the renewal of a Racine tradition takes place June 13th and 14th. Those are the dates of Harbor Fest. Organizers say they hope to bring back what was and to add to existing memories. Read all about the Harborfest entertainment and culinary options online at RacineCountyEye.com. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Conventional Concrete Systems is making concrete great again as the best in the Midwest. If it's a sidewalk, patio, driveway, floor, curb, or gutter, experience matters. Their experts have you covered. Your home deserves the very best. Conventional Concrete Systems provides precision and excellence to every project. It's top-notch work with a beautiful finish that's built to last. Visit them on Facebook or call 262-206-3168 to get started today.
Another slow start for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs. The Bucks fell behind early and tried playing catch-up again. They lost to the Pacers 123-115. Head coach Doc Rivers.
We've gotten up to two poor starts, and we've got to make an adjustment there for sure.
Bucks center Brook Lopez.
They've been the aggressor. We haven't. You know, we keep spotting them 10-point leads at least. The beginning of the first, the beginning of the third, and that's pretty much the game. It's tough when we start the game like that, when we start the half like that. And obviously, we've got to change that.
Indy now leads the series 2-0. Game 3 Friday night in Milwaukee. Baseball. The Brewers with a decisive 11-3 win over the Giants. The crew with an 8-run rally in the sixth. Most of the batters facing a 2-strike, 2-out count.
I mean, that's baseball. You have to be a 2-out, 2-strike hitter. You have to do things. The inning's not over with 2 outs, nobody on. The inning's not over with, you got to be willing to do that kind of stuff.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports on Mike Clemens.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thunder showers this afternoon. We'll get to 63 for a high today. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Showers tonight, 46. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a bit cooler with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
If you're lucky, you'll find one person out of all the billions on the planet, the billions, you'll find one who will live with you for the rest of your life. One. And I got news for you. They don't like you that much either. But it's better than being alone. I say get married. Just find someone, hook up, and do it. Just do it. If you're dating right now, it's too much pressure. For what? For what? Right? If you're on a date right now, you come out, is everything okay? Are you happy with the seats? Are you okay? Do we park too far? Is everything... If you're married, they can't say anything. If they complain, just turn to the... You wanted to go out, we're out. Work, right? You see dating couples in a restaurant, they're just yapping away. As soon as they sit down, the waiter comes over. I'm sorry, we didn't even open it up. We've been talking so much. Married couples' menus right up in each other's face. I can talk to you for the rest of my life. I'm here to eat something you did not cook.
And I have Susan Kearns with me here. She's the executive director of the Milwaukee Film Festival. It starts tomorrow, right?
Yeah, starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's opening night.
Oh, you're cleaning the theaters out, getting the bubble gum out from the under the seats, and getting all that loose popcorn that was there, cleaning it out, getting all spiffy up for the big opening yeah. night at the Oriental and Doubter Theaters. Two historic movie theaters in this country. I'm not just saying in Wisconsin. I'm talking the country. The Oriental built... Boy, I think it was built during the Depression or before the Depression. Very old and Downer, too, an historic movie theater. And you're lucky to get your hands on those places.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're looking at celebrating 100 years of the Oriental in just a couple of years. So we'll have a big celebration around that. And the Downer Theater is the oldest operating movie theater, certainly in Milwaukee, but it might even be in all of Wisconsin at this point.
Yeah, and... WRJN also celebrating its 100th anniversary in 2 years, a year and a half, as a matter of fact. We've been 100 years as well.
What's that? Let's get together.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the old days, 100 years ago, 1926. Okay, so the film festival starts today. What is the film festival? People just tuning in. What is it?
Yeah, so it's really a celebration of movies. Starting tomorrow night, we have over 2 weeks of all kinds of films from around the world, including a lot of films that were made within Milwaukee and the Kenosha area, the M7 region. Opening night, we have the documentary Sally, which is about Sally Ride, and this is directed by Christina Constantini, who grew up in Milwaukee, and she's now, you know, working all over the world, but just a terrific, terrific film, and it's something that, you know, it's not something that you're going to see at the multiplex. And so that's really what we're trying to do with the film festival is bring the best of films from, again, from around the world, documentaries, fiction films, horror films, subtitled films, you know, anything that you can think of, short films. You have a lot of great short programs. Bringing those to the big screen so that people can see those in that, you know, in our historic theaters and, you know, just kind of vibe with each other, too. Talk to people afterwards, go for a drink after, get dinner before, you know, make a whole night of it. Really embrace the movie-going experience.
You know, and I love theaters. I tell everybody everybody's got a superpower. My superpower is I can tell you every single movie I've seen my entire life and which theater I've seen it in.
Wow.
Isn't that a great superpower?
It's unbelievable. It's funny. I was talking to somebody recently and trying to figure out what was the first film I ever saw in a theater. And I truly can't remember because I remember my parents taking me to the movies a lot when I was a kid. So I have sort of glimpses of what I was seeing there, but I couldn't tell you which one was the first. So interesting.
I think my first one in the theater was Tammy and the Bachelor, and I was real tiny. But I remember going to the drive-in, and we saw Tammy and the Bachelor. I remember I can't believe my father actually did all this. We went to the New York Paramount on 43rd and Broadway. It's no longer there. And we saw Elvis Presley and Flaming Star. Now, my parents weren't big Elvis fans, but we schlepped the whole family into the Paramount, which was almost 5,000 seats, just short of Radio City Music Hall, big theater, to see Flaming Star with Elvis Presley. And those are the earlier films I remember.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Okay. Yeah. Now, how do you choose the movies? Because before we went on the air, I said it's like in high school or rather in grammar school when you were setting up teams for dodgeball. Pick me. Is it something like that when you get all these filmmakers together? Oh, pick me. Something like that?
Well, it's not exactly that physical, but but it is a really difficult process because we have literally thousands of films that come in, and you know they're all hoping for a spot in the film festival. Part of it is that we do want to make sure that we have a range, so it can get where it becomes very competitive is there might be a year where we have like two or three or even four films that are all great, but they're all about a similar subject. And so that might be a situation where we're like, okay, well, you know, these three films are great, but this film is, equally as good. And it's, it was made in Ireland and we don't have an Irish film yet. So we're going to grab this one. Whereas these other three, they're from countries that we already have represented. Or, it might be that we have a couple of films and one is like a little bit more maybe like action oriented and we don't have really any other action films that we, in the festival programmed yet. So we might grab that one. So we're really looking to, do a breadth, but also a depth of programming. With the local films, it gets incredibly difficult because this year, for example, I think, I want to say that we had, five or six times as many films as we could program coming out of the M7 region. And so we have not quite 50 films that were made in Milwaukee, Kenosha, Racine, like those areas, but we could have programmed an entirely different set of films and still had plenty to choose from. There's just so much great filmmaking going on in Wisconsin right now. So it's kind of the wealth of, there's like a French term for the burden of plenty. Those choices become very difficult, especially when it's folks we know and folks who are doing great work, but it's the same kinds of considerations.
Do you get a lot of people bothering you leading up to the festival, kind of pushing their films on you? Much like radio stations used to have record, we called them record pluggers. They used to bother the program director day and night. Oh, I want you to put my song into the rotation. Do you get that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I think we don't mind it so much. The issue is just that we usually can't watch things that are just sort of sent to us. So a lot of times filmmakers will reach out and they're like, hey, I've got this film. It's only 10 minutes. Can you watch it? Or, hey, I've got this feature and it's a rough cut. Here's a cut. Can you watch it? And usually if it's not in the rotation of our actual programming duties, it's really hard for us to be able to sort of watch those films outside of that programming kind of the setup that we have for doing that, because it can be I think people aren't, like, until you've watched 100 films, you don't understand how, you know, people are like, oh, I want to watch movies for a living. And, you know, then you start doing it, and it's, it can be very tiring, and you want to make sure that you bring your fresh eyes to every film that you watch. So that's where it can get more difficult, I think.
Siskel and Ebert were being interviewed mm-hmm. once, and everybody was saying to them, oh, this is a wonderful, they can see movies all day. He said, for every good movie, I got to sit through 4 terrible movies. And when they're 2 hours, you're spending your whole day waiting for this movie to end because it's so bad. He said, yeah, the good ones are great. I'd like to see The Godfather 3 times. But for every Godfather movie, there's some dog you got to see. And it just is terrible, he said, just to sit through these bad movies. Do you ever sit through a bad movie and you couldn't wait for it to be over?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny that you bring that up. I was, my first sort of film reviewer job, I was in college. I went to school at University of Texas in Austin. And this was when film reviewers, you know, we got the advanced tickets. So we went to the theaters and we had the little like light up pens and everything. I started my, it was an internship, and I started my internship at the end of January, not really understanding the cycles Hollywood goes through, where a lot of times they put the films that they know are not going to be very good into like a February slot. And so the first month of my job there was going to just film after film after film that was, I mean, I'm not even going to name them. They've all mostly been forgotten, I think. But I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting.
I know. It's awful when you got to sit through a bad movie. Especially when you have a date with you that loves the movie and you got to sit there and just roll your eyes.
Yeah, or you have to review it and then now what do I say about this?
You know,
Ebert had the fact that everybody knew them and respected them. That's easier than, you know, man, this is my first review out and I have to find something to say about this film.
I only walked out of one movie. It was back in the 70s. I think it was North Dallas 40 with Mac Davis. I don't know if Burt Reynolds is in it. It was so bad, I actually got out of the theater and walked out, and people were looking at me. I couldn't sit through it. I just, and I paid my money. I sat through about 40 minutes of it. I said, I can't sit through this. And I walked out, and that's the only film I ever walked out on before. I just was so bad. At least that, it made a lot of money, but wasn't my cup of tea. Now, what are filmmakers, now the people who submit these films, what are they hoping their end game is going to be with these movies? Because a lot of them will never make it to mainstream movie theaters. You won't be seeing them at the Marcus theaters. You won't be seeing them at wherever you see your movies, IMAX theaters. What's their end game with these movies?
Yeah, it really depends on the filmmaker and the film. So we actually do have a fair amount of people who will have their world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival. And some of those films do go on to having like full theatrical and, DVD, Blu-ray distribution and getting onto a service like Netflix or, Hulu. Some of them have theatrical runs. So some films do start with us and then they do really launch into what we would think of, not necessarily, they won't get the push that like an Avengers film will, but they do have a theatrical run, around the United States and sometimes, in different countries as well. Other films might be kind of wrapping up their festival run. And so we might get them just before they show up on Netflix or Hulu or, sometimes even PBS, wherever it is. And those, it's really individual at this point because I do think that, most people are hoping that they can use film festivals to launch their visibility as filmmakers and their film in general. So film festivals are a really good way to do that, to connect with audiences, to, get press around your film that you can then leverage to grow your social media so that you can prove to distributors, like, hey, we've got an audience for this movie. I think one of the things, too, is that filmmakers who attend film festivals, like even, you know, showing up and just not just doing the Q&A, but going to like the networking events and things like that, you meet people from other areas of the country that you wouldn't necessarily meet, or other areas of the world that you wouldn't necessarily meet. And you never know when those connections are going to come back to help you. So I've, you know, I've definitely met people at filmmakers at festivals, you know, just had like a beer with them or whatever. And it'll be a year or two later and they'll get in touch and be like, hey, I met you here. You know, I'm doing a job in this city. Do you happen to know anybody that X, Y, and Z? And so you can kind of keep those connections going in different ways. And you do start to run into the same people. It's very cool. It's like a little, it becomes sort of a little family on the festival circuit.
You know, every once in a while, I'll hear about a movie that sounds good, but I never heard of it before. And case in point, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Nomadland won the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year. I never heard of it before. So I said to my wife, let's go see it. And we saw it, and we saw it four times. It was that good. But I never heard of it before. I just took a chance on it because this looks interesting. And it won Best Picture, so it can't be that bad. Although I take it back, because what was that Asian film that won Best Picture about 2 years ago?
Oh, Parasite?
No, that was excellent. No, that was good.
I thought Parasite was great.
No, that was excellent. No, Parasite was good. It was the one after that. It was the one with Michelle Yeoh.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
10 minutes, I had to shut it off.
I love that movie.
I couldn't even sit through that for 10 more minutes. I said, this is awful. And so I closed. I said, how did this ever win Best Picture? The people I've spoken to about it, I haven't found one person, except for you now, that actually liked the movie. Now, that brings me to another point. These people put a lot of money into this, a lot of time and effort into these films.
Yeah.
Now, it's not like Disney spends $200 million on Snow White and it makes about $40 million. Disney can take the loss on it and, you know, try to market it other ways. But when you put money into one of these films and it doesn't go anywhere, whoa, that's a financial hit.
Yeah. A lot of independent films are labors of love, and it really is. You know, some folks see them as a calling card. They want to make this film, you know, because they want to establish themselves as. Sometimes it's even, you know, I need to get a feature under my belt so that I can establish myself as a commercial director, or I can get an agent, or, you know, whatever it is. But I think one of the things I really like about, you know, working for a film festival is that you can honor that work. And I do think that one of the difficult things about film is that, you know, every film is compared to, I'll say, the Avengers again, because that's not exactly a one-to-one, but, you know, what we're used to seeing are the really high-budget Hollywood films. So you go to an independent film, and it's going to be a little bit rougher around the edges, and it's not going to be as slick. And you hope that the story and, you know, the world that it's pulling you into gives you an experience that's equally as rich, because, you know, I don't think everybody wants like the slick Hollywood films all the time, but they do have a rhythm and a cadence to it that makes them very, very easy to watch. So I just hope people give you know, the range of films a chance, because these are people's dreams on screen. Like, every film starts with a dream. So I think it's cool that we get to honor that.
So true, because you got to start somewhere. I started as a janitor at a radio station when I was 18 years old. Everybody's got to start somewhere and get a resume built, and then you get bigger and bigger and bigger. Even Steven Spielberg, you know what his first movie was? He filmed his own bar mitzvah. You got to start somewhere. And that's great. You're giving people a chance. Real quickly, what do you think about this? The new rules at the Academy Awards now. You have to watch every single Oscar-nominated film in the category you're voting in. I can't believe they didn't watch them before. How could you vote on something where you didn't watch it? That just sounds ludicrous. I heard this rule yesterday. You think it's a good rule? You got to watch every film before you can vote on them?
I mean, ideally, yes, people are watching all of the films before they're voting. that's what we would
hope
for.
You would think.
I do think it's going to be pretty hard to enforce. You know, I don't know how, Yeah, I don't know how they're going to enforce that. Wait, but I think the reminder that, you know, this isn't just about like PR campaigns and this and that is probably not a bad one.
And what do you think about the other rule now? AI, AI, like they changed Robert De Niro's voice for a recent movie. They did the same thing with The Brutalist. They changed, I forget the lead actor. He won the Academy Award. They changed Adrian Brody. They changed his voice with AI. And the Academy says, AI is fine. That's it. You can do it. That sounds kind of weird that no, you could change the performance, you know, digitally, and you could vote on it for best actor, actress, or picture. Wow.
Yeah, I think with AI, I think there's just so much to work out that it seems very different to me that, you know, like some of the things that as I understand it with The Brutalist that they were doing was more about accents. And so it wasn't like they were taking whole swaths of like, you know, a whole monologue and changing it, but it was sort of like working with details about accents and things like that. I could be wrong, but there's a lot of that technological tweaking that's already been happening and people just weren't talking about it in the same way. You know, you think about like, I don't know, there have been films that have won for cinematography that have been almost entirely, not entirely, but, you know, a lot of, like, computer-generated work has gone into it, and yet they'll win for, like, cinematography. And so you think about those kinds of relationships, it's not all that different, but I think we're just, the industry's talking about it differently, and I'm glad the industry's talking about it because I do think that we're at a moment where people just don't want everyone to take advantage of AI to totally replace actors, for example, or writers. You know, you can computer generate a screenplay in about, you know, 2 minutes. It's not going to be any good, but you could do it. And so just, you know, how do we make sure that we're still getting human voices on screen and, you know, hearing human stories, that kind of thing.
I didn't think about that. Generating a screenplay. Wow. Okay. So if people want to go to the Milwaukee Film Festival, it kicks off tomorrow, runs for 15 days. Is it through May 8th? Am I right? May 8th? Okay. If you go to, what's it? MKEfilm.org. Am I right? MKEfilm.org.
Yep, MKEfilm.org. And you'll see the beautiful bird art on the homepage. You can click on that, and that's going to take you to all things film festival. You can look at the individual films, buy individual tickets. We also have networking events. If there are aspiring filmmakers out there or people in the industry that want to get connected, those are free for anybody to attend. We have a bunch of panels. We're going to have a, have you heard of the film Hundreds of Beavers?
Okay. No, but go ahead.
it's a Milwaukee-made film and Wisconsin-made film. Actually, they shot up north. It's been sweeping it's kind of the indie darling right now. They've made over $1 million distributing, and they're releasing a case study to talk about how they did it. So that's, I think, going to be a really big event. Panels and networking and lots and lots of films.
What do I know? I wouldn't have invested one penny in a Minecraft movie, and that thing's made almost $400 million in 4 weeks. I wouldn't have put a penny into that film. Look at it. So what do I know? Okay, this is great, Susan. Susan Kearns, the executive director of the Milwaukee Film Festival, kicks off tomorrow at the historic Oriental and Downer Theaters. Check out mkefilm.org for prices, all the movies, where to go, how to do it, and where to get your popcorn. Okay? Susan, hold on the line. Don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay,
hold on.
Good.
Hold on. Don't go anywhere. It's 7:29, running a little late. Time for Paul Harvey and the rest of the story on WRJN, brought to you today and every day by Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha on 75th Street and 30th Avenue, Kenosha's main tradition for stunning customized floral arrangements and homemade candles and premium chocolates. Again, that's Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. Paul Harvey coming up in just 30 seconds from now.
This Mother's Day, say I love you with fresh flowers from Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. A stunning bouquet, a custom arrangement, or a thoughtful gift paired with DeBrand premium chocolates or Carrie's candles with signature scents like Mom's Home, Wisconsin Northwoods, or Ocean Breeze. Shop early for the best selection because Mom deserves the very best. Order online at Sunnyside Florist of Kenosha. kenosha.com or enter the spacious parking lot from 75th Street just west of 30th Avenue, open until 7 p.m. weeknights and 2 p.m. on Saturdays.
Rest of the story. Regis Wilson was a 14-year young schoolgirl about to embark upon the most magical evening of her life, her first prom. It was her boyfriend's high school prom, actually. He was an 18-year-old senior at Humes High. Regis had known him for 4 months. They'd met at a birthday party from which he escorted her home. That was her first date with any boy ever, the first of many with the young man whom she would always remember as her first love. Regis was attending a strict parochial school at the time, and yet even her Catholic nun teachers would have approved of this boy. Quiet, well-mannered, the places they dated were ultimately honorable, the malt shop, the church. Sometimes the two would just sit in the swing on Regis's front porch, talking. Regis always got a good night kiss, but never the slightest suggestion of anything more daring. Then the day for which she had hoped, when her darling boyfriend asked her to his senior prom. Never was a girl lovelier on prom night. Regis wore a strapless pink taffeta dress and a pink carnation. A talented beauty school student had done her hair for free. And off she and her beau went down to the Peabody Hotel through a giant heart-shaped door and into the ballroom where dreamy music echoed from a dance band. And then young Regis Wilson, from the boy she thought she knew so well, received a confession. He said, "It was something I should have told you earlier." He said, "I'm sorry, but I can't dance. I can't dance." They sat down. The boy explained how his first girlfriend, Betty, had tried to teach him the two-step 3 years before. No matter how hard she tried, however, his clumsiness kept him from learning. And how Betty, who loved to dance, quickly found a boy who could. So he never did learn to dance. And probably never would. And yet what might have disappointed any young lady attending her first prom only made Regis Wilson smile and love her boyfriend even more. They didn't have to dance, she told him. Just walking through the heart-shaped door and being there with him was enough for her and more. And so the two listened to the music and they talked and they held hands and the magic spell remained unbroken. In fact, today, 36 years later, it's still unbroken. Regis Wilson and her shy young man were not to marry. Financial reverses forced her family to move away from Memphis that spring of 1953. And yet, although Regis married another man 3 years later and has remained happily married to him to this day, each springtime, in a secret reprise quite too deep for anyone else to reach, she drifts backward through time and through a giant heart-shaped door to a place where happiness was more than a dance and to a boy who loved her. Who loved her tenderly, but was too self-conscious to step out on the dance floor. And he never did learn to dance with a woman. He never did learn to dance with a woman, and yet solo, his dancing set countless millions of feet to dancing and set the world on fire. That sweet, awkward high school boy named Elvis Presley. Now you know the rest of the story.
And we've got another rest of the story with Paul Harvey coming up at 12:05. Dan Marcus will have that for you right here at WRJN. But first, it's 7:33. Let's check news this morning. Once again, here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Racine police shot and wounded a man involved in a home invasion last night. Kenosha authorities are investigating the police shooting that happened at around 6 at a home near Marquette and Hamilton. A statement says officers heard gunshots, engaged the suspect, and wounded him with minor injuries. We're working on learning more. A Racine man won $1 million on a scratcher. Daniel Maceman hit the $1 million jackpot on the Wisconsin Lottery's $1 million diamond scratch ticket last week. Maceman bought the winning ticket at Pick and Save on Douglas Avenue and claimed his prize last Friday in Madison. The $30 game launched in March. It features three top prizes of $1 million, with Maceman as the first winner. The 72-year-old Racine man struck during a police chase Saturday has died. The Racine County Sheriff's Office says Daniel Brown died a day after his truck was hit by a car fleeing from police. Law enforcement says 36-year-old Adonis Martin ran a stop sign at Victory in Lathrop and collided with Brown. He was flown to Milwaukee but later died. Martin had an active warrant out for his arrest for cutting off a monitoring bracelet. He is now in custody at the Racine County Jail. Some area officials used Earth Day to relaunch an environmental effort. Kenosha County's Adopt a Highway program is restarting an effort to get more volunteers to help clean up county highways. Officials, including County Executive Samantha Kirkman, kicked off the effort at an Earth Day event, offering free safety vests and recognition signs for those taking part. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
With temperatures starting to rise and people wanting to get out on the water more, safety should always be a top priority. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Darren Kuhn, the boating law administrator with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, gives some considerations for what to think about before heading out in your boat for the first time this year.
Check over your boat. You know, it's been in winter storage. Who knows if the mice got to the wires or got to the life jackets that were stowed all winter long. Go through and make sure that your registration is up to snuff. Make sure that your boat lights are functional each time that you're planning on going out. Make sure your bilge pump works. You know, if it's equipped with a power bilge pump, flip the switch and make sure the hum is there. Make sure everything is there that's supposed to be there. Check your life jackets. You know, a lot of people have kid-sized life jackets while kids grow.
Once again, that's Darren Kuhn, the boating law administrator with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, along with us. I'll have a look at your morning markets right after this.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your morning markets. Cash corn is trading at 474.5, down 1.5 cents. New crop corn is trading at 457.75, down a quarter. Cash beans are trading at 1042.25, up 7.25 cents. And new crop beans are trading at 1031.5, up 5 cents. And July wheat is trading at 550, down a quarter. And the dairy side of things, May Class C milk contract is trading at 1842 a hundredweight. That is up 5 cents. And June milk is trading at 1735, up 7 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 181. That was up a quarter. 40-pound block cheese had no change and closed yesterday at 177.5. And the AA butter closed up a quarter and closed yesterday at 232.25. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
WRJN weather.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a few scattered showers and thundershowers this afternoon. We'll get to 63 for a high today. The wind southeast at 5 to 15. Showers tonight, 46. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a bit cooler with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
I went to career day for my daughter's school, and I get what I do is very fun. But I was nervous because I'm there with real people and they're smart. So I was hoping to sit at a table alone. They put me at a table with a surgeon, which I think they did it on purpose, almost to show the kids, here's the difference between reading. So the kids like come up, you know, and they're, you know, they're like, what subjects do you use for comedy? And I was like, I don't even know what the subjects they're taking. I was like, I do English. I do mostly English on stage. They asked him, how long do you go to school to be a surgeon? You know, and he's like 54 years or whatever. It's like a... And they asked me, they're like, how long to be a comedian? I was like, you're good now. So, look, finish elementary school, make your parents happy, but then I'd get out and get after it.
Otherwise known as the Young Rascals. Good loving local news. Timeless hits here at WRJM. Looking for a cloudy day today. Chance of showers and thunder bumpers. Highs near 61. Cloudy and 44 degrees right now here at Radio Park. So the Nextdoor app has a new feature where they would warn people before they post something racist. Now, don't you think you might know when you're posting something racist? Do you need an app to tell you that? You shouldn't be on social media if you can't figure that out, right? It's 7:43, local news, timeless hits, only here at WRJN. Here's Steam.
Mind up.
And hey, kiss him goodbye, Steam. Local news, Tamla sits here at WRJN. It's 7:47. You have a fridge at work where you store your lunch and your food and stuff? You have people steal it from there occasionally? Huh? 41% of people have dealt with a coworker stealing their food. The most common foods we steal are chips, fruit, candy, coffee, and juice. Now, we had a story on, and I do not recommend this. I do not. I think it's bad. But here's what the guy did. He wanted to find out who was stealing his food. So he found the hottest hot sauce he could find, and he put it all over the food. And he found out who stole his food. Now, again, we don't recommend you do anything stupid like that. But he wanted to find out, and he found out. 7:48, local news, timeless hits again. Don't do that. 7:48 at WRJN. Here's Pete and the Beat.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I identify with that film in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day. Just Brew It in downtown Union Grove, where spring is in full swing. Join the fun this Saturday from 8 to 1 for their exciting spring pop-up event. Grab your favorite handcrafted beverage while you explore a variety of local vendors showcasing unique gifts, handmade goods, and more. Great beverages meet great local products. Go to WRJN.com, click the Big Deals banner, and purchase $20 worth of gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Hospice Alliance provides patients facing a serious illness in southeast Wisconsin with quality end-of-life care. A community-committed not-for-profit, Hospice Alliance offers supportive care management, always on the forefront of patient-focused care and caregiver support. When seeking hospice care, ask for Hospice Alliance, the award-winning community-based nonprofit that gives back through education, services, and grief support. To learn more, visit hospicealliance.org. That's hospicealliance.org.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Grab your friends and your walking shoes. The Downtown Racine Spring Wine Walks are back May 3rd and May 10th from 1 to 6 p.m. For $40, enjoy 30 stops of wine and beer. Both weekends will be a blast. And if you're looking for inspiration, May 3rd is Derby Weekend. Rock your best hat. May 10th is Mother's Day, so give her the gift of time together. Not just for the ladies, this is a party for everyone. Get tickets now at RacineDowntown.com and explore Racine's historic and hip downtown while supporting local businesses.
This update sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. During every Brewers home game at American Family Field throughout the 2025 season, fans will have the chance to win a 2025 Land Cruiser, courtesy of your Wisconsin Toyota dealers. Visit brewers.com/Toyota to enter. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Got us on a mountaintop, burning like a silver.
My Venus, you're my bundle of joy. It's cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs near 61. That's the forecast today. Cloudy tonight, lows 47. Partly sunny, highs 55 tomorrow. 44 and cloudy right now here at Radio Park. So, a friend needs a place to crash. How long would you let them stay with you? 22% of people in a recent survey said up to a week. That was the most popular answer, by the way. 1% said up to a year. And 9% of people said indefinitely. They let that moocher live on your sofa indefinitely. I'm not that. I couldn't be that good a friend. Got the Hughes Corporation now at WRGN and rock the boat.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion. Said I'd like to know when you got the notion. To rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat. Your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
That flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
Corporation, rock the boat, 758, local news, town of the Sids, WRJN, on a Wednesday morning. It's hump day, halfway to the weekend. That's pretty good. You like cookies? The website Ranker.com asks people to pick the best cookies ever. 100,000 votes. You ready? Number 10 on the list, Keebler Fudge Sticks. So they're good. Number 9, Mother's Frosted Animal Cookies. That's a classic. Number 8, Soft Batch Chocolate Chip Cookies, preceded by Famous Amos Chocolate Chips. Nilla Wafers, number 6. Nutter Butters, 5. Oreo Double Stuff, number 4. I maybe would have made that higher on the list. Number 3, Keebler Fudge Stripes. Number 2, regular Oreos. And number 1, Pepperidge Farm Milanos. Now, I'll tell you something about Pepperidge Farm. When I was a kid, Pepperidge Farm had so many different varieties of cookies. They had Lido cookies, L-I-D-O, and they were sort of like Milanos, but the cookies were bigger, and they had more chocolate in the middle of them. And those were great. They had a couple of others, too, but they whittled them down, and now they just have Milanos with the chocolate in there. They have orange Milanos. They have all these different Milano cookies. No doubt about it. Still number one on the list. Love Pepperidge Farm. Remember that old guy, the old grandpa used to be the spokesperson for Pepperidge Farm cookies on TV? Remember that? I don't have them anymore. I don't think they have Pepperidge Farm TV commercials anymore. It's 8 o'clock on the noggin right now at WRJN.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN. Receive Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile Business Advantage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The faithful are saying final goodbyes to Pope Francis, whose coffin now lies inside St. Peter's Basilica. This newlywed had planned a trip to the Vatican, hoping the pontiff would bless his marriage.
The Pope Francis is a saint, and he will bless us from heaven, and we're very happy just to be here and to feel that connection.
CBS's Nora O'Donnell is at the Vatican.
The public can now pay their respects, and cardinals led this morning's procession as pallbearers carried the Pope's relatively modest coffin from the residence where he lived through St. Peter's Square along the very same route he traveled in his Popemobile on Easter Sunday, the day before he died.
A funeral service will be held Saturday. President Trump has toned down his talk on tariffs after the International Monetary Fund warned of a global economic slowdown. He's hinting 145% levies on Chinese products could come down. CBS's Kelly O'Grady spoke with him.